Good morning, and welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, the show that connects you with the topics and issues and people that are important to you. We're talking about a very important health topic today, seeing an increase outbreak hepatitis A across the state. And joining us this morning to talk about this is Dr. Robin Johnson. She's the medical director of El Paso County Public Health. Good morning, Dr. Johnson.
Good morning.
Now, what would issue the state, you know, what kind of things trigger the state, obviously increase in cases, but to issue a warning and also local health officials as well?
So what's interesting about a hepatitis A is we see traditionally sporadic cases every year. But what has triggered a warning this year is that there seems to be a clustering among a particular subpopulation that then really triggers some attention that there may be a nidus in which we could intervene to mitigate any spread.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So that's what triggered this.
Yes.
Now let's first, before we break down the numbers, what we're seeing more locally and statewide, so people understand what exactly is hepatitis A.
So hepatitis A is a virus that is spread. It is spread fecal-oral, and so it tends to live in the liver and multiply there, hence the name hepatitis, because that's the inflammation of the liver.
Okay.
And then it's shed through the GI tract. And so that also lends itself to what we recommend as preventive measures, which is really good hand hygiene. Because if you're shedding the virus, then if it gets on your hands and you ingest it again, or you touch objects that someone else would ingest, that's how it's spread.
So it's basically hands.
Yes.
So stay healthy, hand sanitize, wash.
Right, and food preparation.
Food prep, okay.
And then different objects. So you wouldn't want to share toothbrushes, you don't share towels, you wouldn't drink after someone else.
Okay.
So,
which is so hard to do sometimes, right?
Yes.
Like, especially if it's a significant other or maybe a BFF, like that BFF, you know.
Exactly.
So you have to be careful.
Right. And so it's really basic hygiene that your mom always talked to you about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in the certain cases where we know that there's a little nidus, like we said, this subpopulation, then we really, as public health, want to up the ante of education with those individuals about that personal hygiene is truly personal.
Absolutely. And before we get to that, doctor, can you explain the difference? Because there's three types of hepatitis, right? A, B, and C, just so everybody has clarification. I think that will help.
Yeah, and hepatitis, as far as viral hepatitis, there are those three major within the panel. There's a couple of other small ones which are obscure, so we won't go into those. But the big difference between hepatitis A and B and C is one mode of transmission. A is transmitted fecal-oral. The hepatitis B and C are transmitted via other bodily secretions, so through the blood or sexual secretions. And then hepatitis A, while it is makes you pretty miserable and you get inflammation of the liver, it has lower risk of...
The A does.
A has a lower risk of really creating a fulminant hepatitis, meaning liver failure. And so, and it doesn't convert into a chronic infection.
Okay.
Where hepatitis B and C can have some chronicity to it.
Okay.
And you can become a carrier. So, the other thing though, hepatitis A and B, we do have vaccines for those.
For A.
For A, and we have a vaccine for hepatitis B as well.
Okay.
Hepatitis C, we do not have a vaccine, but there are new medications out that you can take, to actually cure hepatitis C. It's just that they're fairly new and fairly expensive.
Oh, okay. So it is new.
Yeah.
It's
over several, it's probably the last decades or so, but they're really developing more that are very specific for the certain strains of hepatitis C, and that's
not
a whole other conversation.
Right. And it's not kind of a generalized, but like you're saying, like the different, interesting.
Yeah. So there's a lot of, development in the immunology and treatment on the hepatitis B and C. For hepatitis A, the treatment really is prevention, and we recommend vaccination and then that good hygiene.
Yeah. And we'll get into the vaccination and everything and about the hygiene. But overall, I mean, this is a concern for the community, not only here, but statewide. Thus the health alert, obviously.
Yes. And some, I think in the statewide, a lot of this has to do with the mobility of our culture.
Right.
Right. And so as people move and we're close to each other, then we kind of take our good things and other things that
and
we share.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Right.
With us.
Okay, so what we're going to go ahead and do, we're going to go take a break now. And when we come back, Dr. Johnson is going to help us break down the current outbreak of hepatitis A, what it looks like in our area. And you were talking about the kind of cultures that you're seeing it's affecting and have more information about this. We've got more with Dr. Robin Johnson, Medical Director from El Paso County Public Health, coming up next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. And welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today we are talking about a health alert that local health and state health officials have issued about an increase in cases of hepatitis A. And to help break it down for us today, Dr. Robin Johnson, Medical Director of El Paso County Public Health, is here. Hello, doctor.
Hello.
So before we left off, we kind of broke down hepatitis A, how it's transmitted, and what's the difference between B and C, and what we want to do now is kind of look locally, because we were talking about we're seeing the clustering is what you're saying in cases. It is what is kind of triggering this alert state and locally. And so what is the clustering is coming from seeing it in certain subpopulations, correct?
Correct.
So what are we seeing here locally? And then what are we seeing statewide?
So this year, the clustering that we've seen in El Paso County, we've had a total of 13 cases, but 11 of them have been experienced in our neighbors that are experiencing homelessness and or substance use, like illicit substance use.
Okay. So the homeless and again, this is like you were talking, the transmission of this could be very easy.
Yes.
Because just handling something.
Right. And so when we're talking in this case with hepatitis A around the substance use, it's not the IV drug use. It's any illicit substance because it's just the handling from if it's on your hands and then I share my product with you,
right?
Then that product is ingested by you and that's the transmission of this particular infection.
Now, is it the same kind of subpopulation that we're seeing statewide as well with this kind of health alert?
So this year in particular, we've seen it clustering again more among the homeless and the illicit substance use. However, last year there was a clustering in Denver among men who have sex with men. And we had 12 cases here in El Paso County last year, which were not clustering in that population.
Okay.
They were very random and individual. However, because of what was occurring in Denver and the mobility of our society, we as Paso County did do outreach into that subpopulation just to help mitigate any spread
possible spread. Right. Okay.
Absolutely.
So now as we're talking about this, and I'm sure some folks are thinking, well, what's the concern then for the general public? Right.
Right. And so the general public is not necessarily particularly at risk of contracting hepatitis A themselves, unless they come in contact, like volunteers, our EMS teams, and if we were to kind of share some of the same patterns of places that we're going and those sort of things. But the problem for the general population that public health is really wanting to get ahead of is what does this mean if it does begin to escalate?
Escalate
right?
into other, yeah.
Well, and if we see that it's spreading and were to spread in absolute numbers or to begin to spread out of this smaller subgroup, then the impact to the community can be huge. And we want to protect our community from every level, from the patients that we're seeing presenting, but also from that spread to other subgroups of the population, plus being good stewards of our community resources. So this does have impact on the hospitals.
Right.
It has impact on our, you know, in our shelters and our EMS systems as, so in good stewardship, we really have been working with those partners to understand their needs and to partner with them to help mitigate this.
So let's talk about, and so folks kind of understand, and of course, like you're saying, law enforcement, first responders, of course, there's concern for them. But so people understand, how does, say, hepatitis A, how does it present itself? And so there are obviously some symptoms to look out for.
Right. And so it presents typically acutely. So that means fairly suddenly.
Okay.
And it presents with nausea, vomiting. You have malaise, meaning you just don't feel like moving.
Okay.
There's
tired and just kind of
fevers.
Okay.
Then you'll begin to see that the urine turns dark, and we kind of talk about it starts to look like tea. So the urine getting dark can be because you're dehydrated, but that's more like goldenrods, right?
Right.
What we're talking about is a dark tea or cola-colored urine because you start to, the liver is inflamed, and it creates what we call bilirubin, which then starts to spill into the urine and changes the color. It's not spilling into the GI tract like it should. And so the stool actually becomes very pale, looks more like chalk.
Really? So it's kind of like a reverse kind of...
Yeah. So the urine's darkening and your stool is lightening. And then we'll see you become what we call jaundice. And so you'll see some yellowing of the eyes and the skin. And then people begin to have a lot of itching because the bilirubin in the skin will actually cause what we call pruritus or itching.
But at first, it sounds like the symptoms, I mean, it sounds like you could just have a cold or maybe the flu, right? Until obviously it sounds like more advanced symptoms.
Yeah, so you don't have the respiratory symptoms like a cold, but you do have kind of those GI gastroenteritis type of symptoms. And so, but they tend to be fairly more intense.
Okay.
And if there's concern, I mean, the main thing when we start looking at these cases is to ask, you know, where have you been? What are your contacts? And really the risk factors for that before we would jump into, hepatitis. And then, you know, close monitoring of patients for the jaundice. If there are any risk factors, then it's a simple test to get a hepatitis panel and to look and see if we can see that in the lab work.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, so let's pause there, doctor, because we're going to have to take a quick news break. And when we come back, let's talk about the vaccine and how you get in front of, say, some of those subgroups and populations to help them.
Absolutely.
So we'll talk more with Dr. Robin Johnson. She is the medical director, El Paso County Public Health, about the increase in hepatitis A across the state. We've got more coming up on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. And welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Excited to talk with Dr. Robin Johnson. She's the medical director, El Paso County Public Health. And Dr. Johnson, we do need to clarify some numbers before we continue.
Yes.
So the numbers that the state issued the kind of health alert about is because of El Paso County and some in Pueblo.
Correct.
And so that's why they issued a health alert to try and get out in front of this.
Right. And so when we talk about the state alert, it's because of the mobility of our community or culture.
Yeah.
But we're not actually seeing that it's spread across the state in general. The cluster has actually occurred here in El Paso County with the 11 cases in the population we talked about and then two in Pueblo.
Okay.
And so the state just wants the... allow the other communities to be aware.
Right.
So absolutely. That they can help to get out in front of it before there's any cases in their own in their own community.
Absolutely. So let's talk about the vaccine. As you did mention, there is a vaccine.
Yes.
So the vaccine can be given to this subgroup, subpopulation like you're talking about. So how do you work to get ahead of this? So you've identified, okay, we're seeing a cluster.
Right.
It's showing up in a cluster, the subgroup. And then how do you get ahead of it that way?
So I think the first thing that, you know, public health is that surveillance piece. And so making sure that you educate and then anybody who's come in contact with that patient who might be at risk for having contracted the infection, we reach out to them to offer the vaccine.
Okay.
And make sure that we give them immunity through the vaccine before there's time for the incubation period to have occurring and allow them to get sick.
That's what I was going to ask. Is there, yes, okay.
So there's a fairly prolonged incubation period, but the vaccine is effective when we can get it. And so we try to get, you know, to them as quickly as possible, any contacts. But then the other piece that we're doing with this particular outbreak is to reach out to the other agencies that work with these populations. So we've been working with the shelters, these safety net clinics, as well as sending out mobile units to go into the field with our homeless outreach team, police officers and sheriffs, to vaccinate these patients. We've partnered with our hospitals.
Okay.
And so both Centura and UC Health have developed a surveillance for us through the emergency departments, and then they're offering vaccines to at-risk populations through the emergency room if you're presenting there as well. And we're working with the sheriff in the jail to up the opportunity for vaccinations of at-risk populations
there as well. Interesting. Yes. Okay. So it's a full, I mean, obviously several areas are focusing on trying to stop this.
Absolutely. And it is a community effort, and that's what's been really fairly, for me, profoundly rewarding is just the willingness of our agencies to work together in a community effort to really mitigate this, to take care of the patients as they present, but then to do that outreach to other potential, you know, spread of the infection, but also with the prevention, even moving further upstream to make sure that we're vaccinating people, educating people around hygiene and those efforts, doing it together as a community.
Now, how does the vaccination process work? Because sometimes vaccination processes can take a while, and some are just one shot. Is that what it is for the hepatitis A vaccine?
Yeah, so hepatitis A, it is a two-shot series. However, one shot is extremely effective. It is upward of 90%.
It is that first
prevention,
shot.
Right? Okay. And then we recommend a second shot 6 months later, because then your immunity is around 98% or even a little greater. So the second shot really is, we recommend it, but the first shot is the most essential.
That's incredible. Okay. Now and I'm sure some folks are probably listening. Oh, as we know, they volunteer and they help.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some concern for them as well, and should probably talk with their healthcare professional about possibly vaccinating.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so if you're doing volunteer and like our first responders, they're trained on hygiene, and of course that's always your first line of defense. But the vaccine is recommended, and again, talking to your own healthcare provider about it, and most insurances will cover your hepatitis A vaccine.
But now let's kind of touch on, we kind of touched on this earlier, but it is treatable. So if, say, someone in this group, like we're seeing these 11 cases so far here.
Yes.
But it is treatable.
Well, it's symptomatic.
Okay, yeah.
Right, and so some of the patients are able to be treated outpatient, but many end up needing to be hospitalized. And it's and then there's the monitoring of the liver, because the liver gets really inflamed.
Yeah.
And that affects your ability to process foods and various other functions that are essential.
Right.
And so, but yes, it is actually... of the hepatitis, most people recover. If they are hospitalized, it's usually only 2 to 5 days or so. Mm-hmm. We then, you know, isolate them up to 10 days from the time that they have jaundice, just so that, because that's when they could still be shedding some virus.
Okay.
And usually within 3 months, they feel back to normal. And some may have a little more protracted, where they have a little less energy, up to maybe 6 months. But we can usually monitor that, and they resolve completely.
That is very interesting to know.
Yeah.
Okay, so if folks would like more information about this, you know, vaccines, the symptoms, stuff like, because we have covered a lot today.
Yes, we have.
What is the best place to go get information? Again, because we've talked about the groups that, the subpopulation that you're tracking right now, and then other people that could come in contact with this. So what is the best place? I'm sure CDC is a great resource.
CDC is always a great resource. And then we have on our website information, and we always welcome people looking there. It is at www.elpasocountyhealth.org.
Okay.
And then you can look hepatitis A, and there's other health issues that you can explore there as well, and contact information if you want further information or want to delve a little bit deeper.
Absolutely. Well, and I think it's important that we talked about this just so everybody knows, because it is a health alert.
Yes. And I appreciate the opportunity for us to reach out into the community for education and to invite people to be curious, as well as to really be proactive in taking care of their own health and that of our community.
Well, and I'm sure, Dr. Johnson, if somebody's listening and going, okay, well, I'm a concern, their best bet is to reach out to their healthcare professional.
Absolutely.
And share their concerns. Like, do I need the vaccine?
Absolutely. So you can look on the website for more information, but your own personal care provider is always a great resource, and having those conversations and reaching out to them for that information, particularly with your own personal history, is always a great place to start.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, because like you said, some groups are probably more at risk.
Yes.
For the hepatitis A than others.
Yes.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and I just surprised Dr. Johnson. I said, Dr. Johnson, while you're here, can we get an update on the flu? Let's get on the update on the flu, because the CDC keeps saying Colorado, right?
Sounds good.
Like, I think we're, still a red state? Is that what they call us as far as their... Well, we'll talk more with Dr. Johnson about that when we come back on The Extra on KRDO News Radio.
Great, thanks.
Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Joining us from El Paso County Public Health is Medical Director Dr. Robin Johnson. And we've been talking about the outbreak of hepatitis A in our community, and that has caused a statewide health alert. Now, if you missed any of that conversation, you can always go back and listen to the podcast. Sorry, ladies, can you tell it's the end of the... Listen to the podcast. Coming up later this morning, it'll be posted at KRDO.com. Look under the radio tab and then click on podcast. But Dr. Johnson, while you are here, I wanted to talk about flu.
Okay.
As we know, the CDC keeps, saying Colorado is one of the worst hit states. And I kind of wanted to see how we're looking locally, what we need to do, best thing for people to do. And again, I'm sure a lot of it has to do with washing hands and staying healthy.
Yes. And again, prevention,
right.
Prevention, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the first three steps. But so what we're seeing locally, the most recent number that I have available, and we update, weekly, but the most recent number was 156 cases that were hospitalized. And so what is reported to us are just the hospitalized cases. And so while we may be seeing more flu out in the community than that, those are the numbers that we track. And that's just a little over half of what we saw last year.
Okay. So it is at this point, we're at half of what it was last year.
Yeah.
So we weren't as severe as last year at this point.
Well, the actual number of hospitalized cases are not as many.
Good.
So that's actually really encouraging. We're still seeing some flu out in the community that may be more equal, and the hospitals through their clinics try to track that more closely. But what we're finding is that by being vaccinated, that even if you do get the flu, that it's less severe and the symptoms are mitigated. And so it really reinforces the need to get vaccinated and to get vaccinated yearly.
Now, is it too late? I know a lot of people might be saying, but Dr. Johnson, it's too late to get vaccinated.
Not at all. Okay. It's never too late. So we really do try to push for people to get vaccinated early, right? We really want you to start your vaccinations in September.
Before
we start the uptick in the seasonal spread of the flu. However, we would vaccinate and recommend vaccination even at this point in the season, because we still have a couple of months in which you have exposures. And so we, yes, get vaccinated if you haven't yet.
Now, they always say there are certain strains that kind of make it a more difficult flu season.
Yes.
Is it the H1N1 strain this year again? Is that the same one as last year?
Right. So we have, it's a little different than last year, but it overlaps with previous years. And so previous years of vaccination, which is why we believe that we have less severity this year, even though we have H1N1 in the system, is that the previous vaccination is really facilitating that.
Okay. So it is not too late.
Not too late to get vaccinated.
And again, you guys offer vaccinations, right, for flu?
We do. We do. And we also want to reiterate again that hygiene. So if you do have a fever and runny nose, cough, to stay home.
Stay home. Don't be patient zero.
Don't be patient zero.
I'm going to say it. We have people that come in here patient zero all the time, and it's like I give them the dirty look, like, what are you?
Well, and cough into your elbow.
Wash
your hands frequently. Use a Kleenex to blow your nose.
Hand sanitizer, wipes.
Yes.
Yeah, don't be patient zero. Nobody likes patient zero. Can I emphasize that enough?
Okay. Exactly.
It's okay for you not to go into work if you're sick.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm going to harp on that for a little bit.
Yeah.
Because people do it here all the time. So stay home. And of course, you guys are going to offer vaccines, and I'm sure information is on the website about vaccinations and times and all that stuff.
Absolutely.
You're awesome.
Well, thank you, Dr. Johnson. It's been a pleasure to talk with you.
Well, thank you for talking about this health alert, and I'm sure you're going to continue to reach out into the community. And
great. Well, thanks for the opportunity and any way that we can facilitate keeping our community healthy.
Perfect.
And promoting prevention, we're happy to participate.
That is great. Dr. Robin Johnson, thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate it. Medical Director, El Paso County Public Health, thank you so much. And coming up tomorrow on The Extra, it is Business Week in Review. That's tomorrow on KRDO News Radio.